40, 45 years later, they're in the land. Only Joshua and Caleb are the two alive that God said would be. And they're taking the land, and Joshua is reminiscing, he and Caleb, as they're speaking to each other. Back to Joshua chapter 14, verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land in which your foot is trodden will be the inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God fully. As they reminisce, Joshua and Caleb, these, you know, two war veterans, they talk about the God that they serve, and they look past the giants that were in their way, and they see the God who's been with them. As they look back in the past, they remember what God has done. Let me ask you, this past year, as we're drawing to a close, 2012, what are some of the giants of your past that are still controlling you? Maybe the giant of uselessness. I'm no good anymore. I can't do anything for anybody. The giant of guilt. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the mistakes I've made. The giant of self-pity. Oh, woe is me. Poor me. And the giant of fear. Well, I just can't do it. Listen, giants are natural. Giants are human. Yet all these giants, God is bigger than. Just like with Caleb, same with you. And how did Caleb overcome these giants? He could have kept focusing on them. He could have just let them be there in front of him all the time. But no, he chose to instead focus on the God that he knew. Focus on the God that he had seen work in his life for the last 40 years. Focus on God's presence who had been with them. Focus on God's promises which he had made to them. God calls us to do the same. Listen, just as Caleb and Joshua reminisce about the past, reminiscing's one thing. I mean, I love to reminisce, you know, nostalgic things that have happened in my life, stories. But you cannot live in the past. As great as what Joshua and Caleb had done 40 years prior, faith is only good as each day. They kept pressing forward. I love what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, I press on that I may lay hold of that which I was also laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as being laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean Paul forgot what happened in his life. No, it means that his life is now in perspective. All these things happen in your life. You can't change that. But your perspective changes as God begins to invade your thought life, invade the core of your being. You begin to see things now differently in the past, and you continue to move forward. And what's the key? Joshua 14, 8 and 9, followed the God fully. Numbers also said the same thing. Moses said he followed God fully. That's the key. See, the recipe for a good life is to follow God fully day by day. Day in, day out. And to not follow God fully, to let giants control your life. It's a recipe for heartache, unfulfilled promises, and possibly even a premature death. See, all of those, except for Joshua and Caleb, would all, if they were here today, they would say, amen. Amen. So the past is part of who you are. But the past doesn't have to be a straitjacket that you can't change. The God that we serve is a God who transforms people, who changes people day by day, little at a time. So Caleb looks back to the past, remembers what God has done. But now he comes to the present. Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I'm 85 years old today. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim was there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. Notice what he says, the end of verse 10, today, beginning of verse 11, today, verse 11, now, verse 12, now, today, right now. Caleb wasn't living on past faith as much as he saw God had done. Caleb's 85 years old. He's not a spring chicken anymore. But spiritually, he's just as strong as he was. See, faith is like the manna that the children of Israel had. Every day, God provided this food called manna. It was just like a little white wafer. Every day, they go pick it up, and God says, you can't take more than for one day, except for the Sabbath, then I'll give you enough for 2 days. Because if they did, it all rotted. And that's how faith is. See, you can't say, well, you know, you should have seen my faith 10 years ago, Jerry. You'd have been so proud of me. Great. How about today? Or, you know, my faith, when after such and such happens, my faith is really going to be strong. No, no, no. Man is for today. Faith is for today. And so that's what Caleb was saying. Yeah, it was great remembering what God had done. I'd seen some incredible things. Caleb had seen and Joshua had seen as much as anybody, except for if you lived in the time of Jesus. But he says, I'm not finished yet, man. I'm not ready for the porch and the rocking chair. I'm not retiring. Listen how Jeremiah says in Lamentations 3:22, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This morning when you got up, the Lord's loving kindness was on your life. When you got up this morning, his compassions were there. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Oh, doesn't mean your problems go away. You still got to deal with issues in your life. I'm not saying that. But he's with you today. He was with you this morning because why? He's faithful. He's a faithful, caring God. How's Jesus saying? Matthew 6:34, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He's not saying hide your head in the sand, but what he's saying is you could only deal with today. And you know what? Today has enough trouble of its own. Sometimes I go to bed at night and as I'm, you know, praying, I say, Lord, some days, not every day, but man, had some trouble today, but you know, tomorrow's going to be a new day. Tomorrow's going to be a new day. Today. Let me say a few things about today. First of all, here it is. Whatever your age is right now, it's the Lord who's kept you alive, who's protected you from death, and supplied you with the needs of life. Everybody in here, it's only been the Lord. Second thing, today. The longer you live, the more aware we should be of God's goodness in keeping you alive, his care in prolonging your frail life, and his patience with your life. The older I get, boy, it's like, Lord, man, you're so patient with me. You're so long-suffering with me. I look back over my life, it's like, I'm just amazed. Today, the psalmist says, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. And what? Be glad in it. Today, right now. God's given you life. God's given you breath. God's given you hope. God's met your needs. See, Caleb, it says he followed the Lord fully. He knew God's presence daily. And because of that, three things. First of all, challenges didn't frighten him. Oh, got another challenge? Been there, done that. Bring it on. Second, age didn't hinder him. I'm 85. I'm not ready to retire yet. And third, disappointments of the past didn't embitter him. See, that's a problem. Sometimes we look back at the past and fills people with bitterness, and it's always all the bad things that happened. They can't move forward. For Caleb, none of those things. Why? Because he followed the Lord fully day by day. And I think for the believer in Jesus Christ, we too should have that same faith, that same resolve. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, He's forgiven you of your sins. He's given you eternal life. The greatest threat in your life, an eternal separation from Him, will not be an issue. The greatest thing that you have to fear is an eternal separation from God. That's the greatest thing. If that's taken care of, you think you can't deal with the other giants in your life? Christ has promised you He will never leave you nor forsake you. Just like the children of Israel, a visible picture, the manna every day, the cloud, the fire. It's the same picture we have of Christ every day. He's with us. Every day He wants to guide and direct us. Every day He wants to watch over us and care for us. Paul says in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? The answer is nobody can be. And Caleb knew that. God is with you every day, day in, day out. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. That means, yeah, you might be getting older. Your body begins to break down. But spiritually, we don't need to be aging. Spiritually, we can become new day by day. We don't ever take a retirement spiritually. See, even as we grow older physically as followers of Christ, we can continue to grow stronger spiritually as followers of Christ. Caleb's 85. Age is not the difference, but his attitude and his outlook is the difference. Tell you about a man named George Whitefield. I've talked about him before. George Whitefield was clearly one of the greatest preachers in the history of mankind. He was an Englishman. He lived from 1714 to 1770. God saved him, I think, at 21. And he was a powerhouse. God used this man in an incredible way. He preached thousands of sermons. Reading about him gets me tired. He would preach sometimes twice a day, 7 days a week. Of course, he went about on horseback. He traveled on horseback thousands of miles. He was British, but he loved America. He came here 7 times and preached in America. Of course, back then you had to take one of these little bitty small wooden boats, take you at least 2 months to get over here, minimum. And he would go up and down the East Coast. That's just when they had the 13 colonies, preaching. God used this man in a great and mighty way. a time called the Great Awakening in America in the 1740s. Whitfield sometimes would preach so much, and after he'd preach, people would want to meet with him and speak with him and talk to him. And he'd be so weary sometimes, literally, his friends would have to carry him to the next place where he would preach. And they'd bring him up, and once he got up to the pulpit, the Spirit would fill him, and he would come alive and preach with the same fervency and passion wherever he went. Whitfield would say, "It is better to wear out than to rust out." He died young. Of course, this was the 1700s. Medicine was not what it was today. He was not in good health. But towards the end of his life, he was starting to break down. His last year of his life, 1770. He was in America at the time in New Jersey. He and some other pastors had gathered together for dinner after a sermon, and they were at a man named William Tennant's house. William Tennant was another great preacher. He was an American Presbyterian in the Pennsylvania, New Jersey area that God used in a great way. And as they ate, Whitfield talked joyfully of soon dying and rhapsodized at the thought of heaven. "Do you not share my joy at our hope of dying soon and our full assurance through Christ's blood of entering heaven?" They all assented except William Tennant, who stayed silent. "Brother Tennant," exclaimed George, "you are the oldest man among us. Do you not rejoice that your being called home is so near at hand?" "I have no wish about it." "What, sir? No joy at the near prospect of heaven?" asked George. "No, sir. It is no pleasure to me at all. And if you knew your duty, it would be none to you, Brother Whitfield. I have nothing to do with death. My business is to live as long as I can and as well as I can." "But," pressed Whitfield, "would you not choose death and the gates of heaven and to see the face of the Lord Jesus welcoming you if the choice were left to you?" "Sir," said Tennant solemnly, "I have no choice about it. I am God's servant and am engaged to do his business as long as he pleases." Wow. You too. You didn't have a choice when you were born. You don't have a choice when you die. But in between, life's full of choices. And God wants you, like Tennant said, to live as long as you can, as well as you can. Right now, today. Well, did Caleb take possession of the land? Well, what do you think, Junior? Of course he did. Let's look at the future. Joshua 14, verse 13. "So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord of God of Israel fully." 85 years old, still going strong. Took the land, became his family's possession. See, we could call this the Caleb concept. Here's the Caleb concept. "Though I'm getting older, age is not the main factor, but the Lord and his promises are." The Caleb factor. Says, "I want to go as hard as I can and as long as I can for the Lord." The Caleb factor says, "It is better for me to wear out for the Lord than to rust out." Age is not the main factor. Attitude, faith are. What about you? What about your future? Well, as Caleb's friend Moses wrote in Psalm 90, verse 10, "As for the days of our life that contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years." You know, we got a few people in our church over 80. God has blessed you with a long life. Nobody knows that day, but, you know, 70, 80 years. But here's one thing we do know. We don't know how long you're going to live, but here's one thing I do know. There's a 100% mortality rate. 100%. All of us. Just when, where, how. And see, Jesus came to call people to himself, to save them from their sins and give them eternal life. For the believer in Christ, life on this earth ends physically, but spiritually, you're ushered into another place. Just like the curtains coming down in 2012, a new year will be ushered in, so too. One day the curtain's going to come down on your life on this earth, but a new life's going to be ushered in for you called eternity. Where and how will you spend it? Jesus said this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." Does not come into judgment. See, all of us have sinned. All of us have broken God's commandments. All of us have stolen, or at least envied in our hearts. All of us have murdered, or at least gotten angry enough to want to murder somebody. All of us have committed adultery, or at least lusted in our hearts. All of us have sometime taken God's name in vain. All of us have put other gods before God. 100%. And because of that, because there's a holy, righteous God, we're all under judgment. Especially if we stay in that state, especially if we decline, push God back, push him away, refuse to allow him into our life. But Jesus says, wait a minute, I came that you might have eternal life. I came, lived a perfect, sinless life, fulfilled the law for you. And God is totally satisfied with my final offer on the cross. It's not what you do, it's what I've done. And for you, Jesus says, you must receive me. You must turn to me. Trust me to be your Savior. Trust me to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life. And when you do so, judgment is now taken away, because there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because Jesus was condemned in your place. Cold this morning. Most of us had a coat on when we left this morning. When you turn to Christ, the filthy rags that you had that were your good works that you thought God would be pleased with, God says, no, I'm not letting you into my presence like that. But when you come to Jesus, I'm taking those robes off. I'm going to give you a new coat. Robes of righteousness that allow you entrance into my presence. See, Jesus, today, wants to save you today. That you turn to him. That you trust him as your Savior. You pass out of judgment into life. And for all those that Christ saves, out of gratitude, our lives should now reflect that. It's not optional. Well, I got saved, but now I'm trying to decide I'm going to follow Jesus. Wait a minute. You don't understand. When Jesus calls a person, he calls them to deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow him daily, just like Caleb did, for the good, bad, and the indifferent. And out of gratitude, our lives should reflect that. So let me close with two things, two statements to you. Number one, view your life as a challenge, not a threat. Yeah, there's giants in your life. We all have them. And the Lord knows about every single one of them. And he wants to be with you as you deal with those giants one by one through his grace, through his mercy, through his presence. Don't run from them. Face them head on as a challenge, not a threat. And like the children of Israel, don't let fear dominate you, but let the example of Caleb be your God. Yeah, there's giants. It's big. It's scary. I could turn and run like the other 10 did. Or we could say, wait a minute. God is with me right now. This might not be easy, but it sure beats running. Because as I face it, as I deal with it one by one, God opens up a new life, a life full of joy, a life full of peace, a life full of love. So let God and his promises direct your path. Deal with the giants head on. Don't be afraid of them. God knows about them, and he's allowed them into your life. And part of the reason is that he begins to do a deeper work in your life. You learn to trust him more, depend on him more, see his grace and mercy each and every day, his faithfulness in your life. Second, follow the Lord fully, not half-heartedly. Again, like Caleb. This morning, his mercies were new. His compassions fail not. He's faithful to you. Yeah, I know, but. No! Jesus went to the cross fully for you. He didn't say, I don't know. He did ask the cup to be passed from him, but the only reason he did, because he knew how great a place of suffering it was going to be, that he was going to be separated from his Father as he became a sin offering for us. Jesus went to the cross for the joy set before him, Hebrews says, despising the shame, because he knew the outcome. So same with you. Go as hard as you can for the Lord as long as you can. Wear out for the Lord. Don't rust out. God has given you the gift of life and the gift of eternal life. God has given you his presence, his promises. Use your life for his glory and his kingdom. Well, another year's gone by. We're all another year older. Just like Caleb. Hopefully you're not going to let that stop you. Just because the outer man's decaying doesn't mean the inner man is. Regardless of your age right now, be a modern day Caleb. View life as a challenge, not a threat. Follow the Lord fully, not half-heartedly. Start today, and guess what? If you start today, you still got 2 days left for 2012. So you get a jump on 2013. Start today. Follow the Lord like Caleb did. Let's pray.